the reading of his word.
Now, I want to give you a little bit of background here so you could kind of understand what's going on in this story. In this story, we're in a period where God's people continue to move from disobedience to defeat to deliverance. The last verse in the book of Judges kind of gives us in Judges chapter 1, 21, verse 25 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." They were continuing to live in disobedience, the people of God, and they would disobey God, and then they would be utterly humiliated and get to this place of humiliation where they would cry out to God, "Please help me," and God in his grace and mercy would reach down and deliver them, and there would be a time of peace. And then again it would happen. They would forget how they got to that great place of obedience, and they would do what was right in their own eyes and not obey the word of God anymore. And they would find themselves in utter destruction. And then again, in humility, they would cry out to the Lord, "Please help me." And he in his grace and mercy would reach down and help the people again. This is what where we're at. It sounds a whole lot like the United States in 2017. Man, doing what is right in our own eyes. You know, the people were willing to do what's right in their own eyes because they had hardened their hearts against God. And sin had become rampant because of it. Now, the nation, Ruth chapter 1, will read, "Because there was a famine in Bethlehem, a man took his wife and two sons to live in a country called Moab." Now, that famine was probably more than likely a direct result of the disobedience of the Israelite nation. God's people had lived in disobedience, and famine had now entered the land. So this man got this great idea. Things weren't working out so much in Bethlehem, so he's going to go down to Moab. And he's going to bring his whole family because he had heard there was lots of rain. The crops were going to work out a lot better there, so he moved his family down there. He thought he was pursuing a better economy. He thought he was pursuing a better opportunity. But Moab was not a place to be. Back in Numbers chapter 25, just to give you a little bit of history on the Moabites had led Israel into immorality and pagan worship already. And in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3, Moses spoke these words from the Lord about Moab: "An Amorite or a Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. None of his descendants shall enter the congregation of the Lord forever." God did not want his people to mix in with these Moabites because they were pagan worshipers. They worshiped false gods and had already corrupted his people once, and God forbid them to be together. So here we see this man already being in facing disobedience, right? Already disobeying and facing the consequences of that with a famine, to doubly disobey and go to Moab. You know, one disobedient act is not going to be fixed. Another disobedient act is not going to fix the first disobedient act. Even if it looks logical and even if it makes sense. One act in your flesh is not going to fix another act in your flesh, even if it looks logical and it makes sense. So he goes and takes his family down there and he dies. The father dies. 10 years later, both of his sons who took Moabite wives die. And now there's three widows: Naomi, the mother, and the two daughter-in-laws, sitting here as widows. They didn't have a 401k. They didn't have any Social Security. There was no IRAs to cash in. Nothing. They lost their support system. They lost their husbands back then. And this is where we find these women in the story. Now, I want you to see this. This is the main point of the sermon today. If you could get nothing else, I hope you get this, and that's this. Loyal believers must stay committed to what is right. Now, as we talk about loyalty today, and look at this story between Ruth, his relationship to Naomi, I want you to see today that what we are loyal to really matters. Difficult times, bad, horrible decisions had been made over and over and over. They got to the very bottom, the very end of themselves, the bottom of the pit of life. No husband, no money, no resources, nothing. Consequence after consequence after consequence of bad choices. And now what? Naomi hears that the Lord has heard the cry of his people once again, as he has many times. And all of a sudden, looks like things are turning around in Bethlehem. Looks like things are turning around and going and getting better. But what do we do when we are facing the consequences of sinful decisions? What do we do when we are facing the consequences of difficult, bad decisions others have made for us and are reaping the consequences of that? What do we do? What does loyalty look like? Well, there are three things we must remain committed to in this passage. The first thing we must remain committed to in this passage is this. We must remain committed to the right priorities. Now, I want you to look in this passage because what happened was Naomi tried to persuade Ruth to go back to Moab, where she was from. Now, Naomi knew the Lord. Naomi knew she worshiped God, the one true God. She understood this, but you can see in verse 8, it says this, "Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back, each of you, to your mother's home.'" In verse 9, "May the Lord grant you that each of you will find rest in the home of another's husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." And again in verse 11, you can see, "But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in whom they may be your husband? And turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have children." He says, like, it's ridiculous. I'm too old. Even if I find somebody, by the time I have the baby and the baby's old enough to marry, you're going to be too old. Would you wait? This is just foolish. You're going to be stuck as a widow the rest of your life. Go back and you'll have an opportunity to get married again. Go back. There's opportunity in Moab. Go back. There's your family in Moab. Go back to Moab. And Orpah gave in. She left. She kissed Naomi, and she left. But after countless efforts where Naomi tried and tried and tried again to get her to go back and prove to her it was a better case, you know, I think she was probably wrestling with a lot of her own bad mistakes. I mean, we know from this passage that she was having this own struggle with what she thought of God. This dictator, just this judger. She was facing the consequences that had come upon her, and she was bitter in her heart. She did not think that there was opportunity for Ruth in Bethlehem. She didn't think that it was a better choice. She really probably believed that the best choice was to go up to Moab. And I just want to tell you today, if young people, that this reminds us that you need to be really careful where you get your guidance from. I mean, what in the world was Naomi thinking? False worship, false gods? I mean, a pagan nation? What? How could that be better? But that's where she was at the moment. That's where she was. And you know what? We need to make sure that all of the things, the decisions that we make and the things that we do are directly connected with the Word of God. not just take people's word for their word, but make sure that what they're saying lines up with the very word of God. And even with all this, right? She's explaining it, right? I got nothing to offer. I got no more sons. I don't even have a husband. You know, I probably won't even be able to get a husband. You know, I got nothing here. I have nothing here, even with all this. With all these realities being true, Ruth stayed committed to her, to help Naomi. Ruth stayed committed to help Naomi. Look what Ruth's response was in verse 16. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me. Stop trying to compel me to leave. Stop trying to urge me to leave. Or, to leave you or return from following you, for there where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge." And in verse 7, she says, "And where you die, I will die there. I will be buried there." Now, Naomi was willing to go to the land where they were hostile towards her. She was willing to go to a land where she probably wasn't going to be accepted. She was willing to go somewhere because she was being loyal to Naomi. Ruth was loyal to her. So loyal that she was willing to even risk her own comfort, her own safety, her own security, because she believed what she needed to do right now is help Naomi. What mattered to her, her priority was that I serve Naomi. Ruth's priority was to serve her, to love her, to stay with her, to stick with her through the thick and the thin. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. I'll stay there, and I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to stay with you. All the way to the end. She was that committed to her. You know, we need loyalty like that, don't we? We need some loyalty like that from the brothers and sisters in this church, from one another. We need loyalty like that. Loyalty that doesn't determine if we're going to be loyal if the person made all the right decisions. But even in the midst of all the wrong decisions, there was still loyalty from her. That sounds like unconditional loyalty. Loyalty that didn't have strings attached to it. Now, Ruth was a believer. We could see her, even in this passage, use the word Lord, which is translated the word Yahweh. She understood her God to be the God, the one true God. So Ruth was sitting here knowing the truth about the Lord. She had made a change, you see. She had already shifted from pagan worship to the worshiping the one true God. She had already changed families. She had already made a decision. See, her sister-in-law was a phony Christian. She was in the family too. She was, but supposedly, when she got the opportunity to go back, she went right back. But Ruth was staying for a reason. She was committed to Naomi, and she was committed to God. So she went to this place, this bitter place, where her enemies were. The second thing that I want you to see in this passage that we must remain committed to is we must remain committed to the right people. In verse 16, she says, "And your people will be my people." The logical thing would have been to go back to her people, her family, where she had a house, where there was security. But there would be false gods that were going to be worshipped there. You know, church, the people that we spend time with influence us. And she was willing to make the people of God her people. She was transferring from the way she used to live to, no, your people are going to be my people. I'm committed to the people of God, the people that worship Yahweh. These are the people that I want to worship, the people that you belong to. You know, some of the biggest mistakes I've made in my young years have been when hanging out with the wrong people. Can I get a witness in the room? When you've been hanging around with the wrong people. You know, she had knew that she was hanging around the people, and now she wanted to be committed to the right people. Ruth promised to stay committed to God's people. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says this, "And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good deeds, good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near." The Lord wants us to be committed to meeting and being with the people of God. He wants us to stay committed to one another, to meet with one another, and not to become make it a habit to neglect the meeting of one another. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44, when the first church started, this was their heart, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food and with glad and generous hearts. They remained committed to the right people. You know, I know that there are some people in this, there are some people that you are with that you need to turn away from. There's some people, there's some people that are doing some really evil things that you need to get away from. And I think it's interesting that when times are difficult and when times are hard, going back to some of those people groups and going back to some of those places seem really logical, because sometimes we feel like, man, that place over there, that party, those people were fun, that made me feel better for a short time, and we want to run right back to those people groups, those places, and do those things again. Man, we need to be committed to the people of God. One of the things I wrestle with when I'm watching people try to change their lives around after coming to Christ is when they keep spending so much time with people that are continuing to pull them down. And I'm like, we just had a young adults event. Why didn't you come to the young adults event? We just had all the church got together. We just had Wednesday. We have family dinner. Why aren't you coming out? And then I see on Facebook, you know, I see the posts on Facebook. Oh, this person this, and this person talk about me and this. And then they're going off about this person, and I can't believe what my boyfriend did. And they're putting it all out there on Facebook, and everybody's listening, and people are commenting, oh, you shouldn't put him out there like that. And, you know, they're putting all these comments on there. You could see it's on display on Facebook alone how bad their life is going, how difficult things are going because of the people that they're committed to, and yet they're not showing up and changing the group of people that they're choosing to be loyal to. And I want to challenge you and say this: are you being loyal to the people of God? Can you say, like Ruth said in this passage, your people will be my people, that the people of Reborn Community Church, that the people of the church I will invest in, I will seek to love on, I will seek to remain faithful to in the good times and in the bad times. These are my people. Or are these just people you're sitting next to in Sunday service? Are we just somebody that makes you feel a little comfortable, you know, just to sit next to and say amen with? Are these your people? And I wonder today, who's your people? Who's your people today? I mean, all you got to do is just think how your week went. How did last week go? How did this month go? If you were to say, all year, how has this year been going? Who are you gathering with? Who are you allowing to influence your thoughts and your attitudes? Who are you committed to? Who are you trying to help financially, help biblically, help grow in the Lord, sharpening? You know, every Wednesday at New Community, we get together with a dedicated purpose to be a new community, with the purpose of saying we're going to sharpen one another, we're going to build one another up, we're going to intercede and pray for one another. And we come in this room and we sit around tables and gather for a reason. Because we're committed to each other. Who's your people? Your people will be proved by your actions. You know, when this room is as full as this on Wednesday, and we'll see that there's been a change take place. But I wonder sometimes if we're still in that place, things are not going so good and stuff, and then we hear the word of the Lord, and then we hear that message or that idea in our own hearts, or somebody tells us, you know, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, go back to Moab. And then, you know, maybe you dabble and you'll take a quick visit to the people of God, and then you'll go back to the pagan worshipers. You know, her people, she was willing to make sure that the people of God were her people. And she committed herself to that. The last thing I want you to see in this passage that she was loyal to, she remained committed to, is she remained committed to the right God. She remained committed to the right God. And it said in this passage, and your God will be my God. Now, I want to make something really crystal clear because I don't want it to get confused. We are not to get in relationships and going with whatever person's God they're choosing with. That's not the idea of what's happening here. See, Ruth was already committed to making this shift. Ruth was already committed to making this change. She already committed to trust in the God that Naomi and all her people were supposedly worshiping. She already was committed to this God. She could have thought of all kinds of reasons to do things her way. But she chose to trust God. Ruth promised to stay committed to the one true God. She trusted in God to be her provider. Naomi, there was no hope with Naomi. She was going to be loyal to her. She was going to follow her, go where she went. She was going back to the people of God. She was going to be there all the way to die. But she was not putting her trust in Naomi. Don't make any mistake about it. She was putting her trust in God. She was putting her faith in the Lord as she walked down this path to join herself with a group of people that were really enemies of her whole Moabite nation. There were enemies of hers, and now she was going to go and live with them. Man, I don't know if you understand how much faith this really took. She wasn't going to walk in and be received. She was going to walk in and be rejected.
Right.
See, Ruth was one of the Moabites that came from the incest between Lot and his daughter. This is where this woman came from an incest, from incest. This isn't the woman that should be highlighted in a story. This isn't a woman that should have her name of a book. You understand? This is a woman that should have just been lost in history, not known, not understood, just followed by the wayside. But she made some choices. She did some things in her life to make some choices to be loyal to Naomi, to be loyal to the people of God, to choose to be loyal to the God, the one and only true God. She trusted in him to be her provider. And I just want you to think, as we think through this passage for a second, and you could go further in the book, but God did some amazing things in this woman's life. The Lord took her out of a corrupt, godless background and provided her a home with the people of God. Then God provided a husband for her in chapters 2 and 3 through 4. Boaz, he paid the price to free her and redeem her and make her his wife. Then God provided a king to be her grandson. His name's King David. And then God gave her the privilege of being part an ancestor to Jesus Christ. That Jesus was going to come through her family tree. Who would have ever thought? As she sat there, after everything went wrong, she had no husband. Her mentor was losing focus. She was bitter because God was, there was judgment happening, and she didn't understand. She was looking at God in the wrong way. She was not trusting. Naomi was not trusting the sovereignty of God. She was not trusting that even when things are going bad, that God is in control of all things at all times. She was starting to lose faith, but Ruth had some faith. Ruth had some faith to trust in the Lord. And look what God did. God wasn't out of control in all this. As people were making bad decisions, as people were going down bad paths, as judgment was upon them through this famine, as they disobeyed and ran to Moab, God was still in control, church. And I don't know if you got to the place like where you feel like you've made so many bad choices and so many bad decisions that you're so far from God. I want you to know today that God's arms are open to you, that He is still working out His perfect plan in your life. That if the Lord is speaking to your heart and he's drawing you to himself, he wants you to be part of his family. He wants to redeem you and buy you back out of darkness, out of all the consequences of your sin, and pay for your sin and give you new life. He wants to do that. But will you trust in the Lord today? Or will you stand there after all of the consequences are coming down upon you, as all of the disobedience has led to generational consequences? Maybe things other people have done that you're now reaping the consequences for. Will you stand there and still try to go like Ruth's sister-in-law and go back to Moab? Still try to work it all out yourself in disobedience and try to make it all happen? Or will you choose to be loyal to the Lord? Amen. See, loyalty matters, but you know, when we're facing difficult times, loyalty isn't about just being loyal to people. You know, we need to be loyal to God. We need to be loyal to prioritizing loving people. We need to be loyal to the people of God. We need to be loyal to God being first in our lives. You know, we need to be loyal. You know, we live in a generation, in a world today that just is so uncommitted. You know, it's hard to get people to want to be members. It's hard to get people to commit to ministries unless they're the leader of it. But where does your commitments lie today? Where's your loyalty today? You know, it's going to be proved by your actions. And as we are in times that are difficult, we're going to be tempted, or there's going to be temptations to go back to a lifestyle we once lived, to a people we once fellowshipped with, participated with, partied with, to a boyfriend or a girlfriend that you already broke up from because you knew they were no good for you. But where's your commitment lie when difficult times are there? You know, those tests, those times where everything's going wrong, those are opportunities for you to recommit your time, your commitment to God, to God's people, to the priorities of God. Will you bow your heads with me?